Hoodat, welcome on in. Our Saints game day coverage is here. It's the Acadian Windows fans' first take on WWL, Acadian Windows' official window company of the Hoodat Nation. I'm Seth Dunlap, former Saints offensive lineman, Steve Court, yes, alongside. First of all, a very happy holidays, Steve, and everybody listening out there. Dave Potter behind the glass. Happy holidays, buddy. What you doing for the holidays? Let's get out of the way first here. I am curious. What's Steve Court's plans for the holidays here?
Steve Court is actually going to go with his wife to the in-laws, and that's where we're going to
have It's always an interesting holiday.
Let's just say it's entertaining.
It always is.
It's entertaining. It's
it always is entertaining. I'm one of the rookies here, so I get to work over the holidays.
A little
stay in town. I'm gonna be working next Tuesday and Wednesday, so we're gonna have fun with that. And everybody listening out there, hopefully, you have a lot of fun today. Saints Steelers coming up. It's the national game, 3:25, and there's a reason for that, Steve.
Yeah.
As there is huge things on the line here, not just for the Saints.
Very large implications, especially here in the last 18 hours or so, as things have dramatically changed, especially on the AFC side, which adds, I guess, some more juice to this game for sure.
Indeed. So let's start it off with Court's take. Steve, what's your take on the juice in this game?
Well, let me just continue on my comment there. Look, the fact that Baltimore, really just stomped the living daylights out of the Chargers yesterday. Sort of put it on them. And at the same time, the Chargers were ranked number one going in, and now they have really sort of fallen from grace from the standpoint as they're going to get maybe a wild card, and that's about it, And they better hope – well, they'll get a wild card. But they may play this same team they played yesterday in a couple of weeks, or they're going to play somebody else in that AFC. But there's so many different scenarios to go over, with that. But I can tell you this, that this puts the Steelers in a situation because they're in that same conference as Baltimore, that now all of a sudden this game has a lot more juice on it than it did. It was important to both teams, get me wrong, but now it has large implications that rise for this. So they've now all of a sudden got a little bit of an extra incentive to do some things. But at the same time, look, the Saints need to take care of business today. They take care of business today, and they do themselves a huge favor from the standpoint of home field advantage and the first round bye and all that. You more or less get your option next week of who you need to rest critically and who needs to take a day off and who needs to sort of go out there and get some reps and get the younger guys get some reps going into the playoffs. All that's great. I mean, that's what you're out there for, and now this is sort of a reward for them. And at the same time, this is critical. This is almost like a bye and a half type thing. You'll continue to practice and things, obviously, that to stay sharp and whatnot. But as far as rest, this time of the year is so critical. And we've seen, been the benefactors of that. When we rested, we're getting Teron back today. I know Jermon's out from the so look, our offensive line, I can tell you from playing that position for almost a decade, week 15, you are beat to hell, and really, this is a cumulative thing, and they pile up on you. And by this time, any time that you can get get your feet up and take a few hours off from that is great. So the fact that you've got a few days and some good treatment and some things like that, and a couple of weightlifting sessions, and you can put yourself in a completely different frame of mind.
Yeah, you certainly can. And what you alluded to there with Pittsburgh. Really, this is a playoff game for them. Happened yesterday, not only one game hurt them, Steve, both games hurt them, even the Tennessee game, because Tennessee beat Washington. What this basically means is if they lose this one, there's no chance that they get in as a wild card team because the Colts and the Titans play each other next week.
Yeah.
So even if Baltimore loses next week to the Browns, there's no chance that Pittsburgh could sneak into the wild card spot. So they lose this one, very likely that the Steelers aren't even in the postseason.
It's
incredible.
It's amazing. I mean, it's a precipitous fall. But look, this is going to be interesting. And this team, and I'm speaking of the Steelers now, when they're on, they remind me a lot of the Saints. Just from the standpoint of they can rush the passer, with their defense, they've got a good defensive front. Look, they can put the pressure on with four guys, and that makes a big difference. And at the same time, look, they've we've all forgotten about Le'Veon Bell because of Connor. Now, Connor's not going to be active today, but they'll have some. I can't remember who the guy's in right now. His name escapes me at this point. The back at this point, but.
Jalen Samuels,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. Look, he can flat get it done. But the thing that is Roethlisberger and Antonio Brown and Juju Smith-Schuster, those are like some weapons that are just. Those are two really, really some standout wide receivers. You know, Antonio Brown is recognized as really the best in the league, and has for the past couple of years. And Schuster's this kind of real physical, kind of a freaky kind of guy that. It makes a lot of big plays. And then you got some tight ends that can make some plays on this team. So offensively, they're dangerous. They've got a great offensive line that protect them very, very well. They got some good guys up there in front it's gonna be a test in the line of scrimmage today. For
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, it's gonna be a test of wills. It's gonna be a war in the Superdome this afternoon. We all know that home field advantage is important, right? Like everybody who follows football knows that. But did you know it's this important in the last 5 years? Some stats from the last 5 years in the NFL. Obviously, 10 Super Bowl participants, 9. Of the 10 have been 1 seeds. The other was a 2 seed. If you're talking about the conference championship games, home teams have never in that span lost a conference championship game. They are 10 for 10. So you talk about the importance of getting that game in the Superdome and really the importance of the 1 seed. It's huge. All 5 Super Bowl champions. In fact, the last 6 Super Bowl champions have been 1 seed. So Saints need to take care of business, hopefully this week, but one of the next 2 weeks.
And really, it's a logistics thing. It really is. It's hard to win a game in the National Football League period. I mean, people don't understand that. They think, oh, it's the next game, and you practice and you just go out and play. The preparation and the hours of preparation and the studying and the film study and then going through the plays and then breaking them down. I mean, it's arduous. It during the week, it really is. It's a testament of endurance. There's no question. And look, it's. The teams that do that best, obviously are your better teams, but it's hard to win a game. And then the fact that you throw in the travel aspect with that, being away from home in a difficult environment or weather issues or whatever else you have out there that is a different issue. You're not sleeping in your bed. You're sleeping in a hotel. There's some great hotels out there. But, look, I've never slept great in a hotel right, from the standpoint of what I sleep in my own bed. Okay, so – there's a lot of differences that happened, and a lot of things are make up for that. Look, just the plane flights, whether it's to the West Coast or the East Coast or North, whatever, all that kind of stuff takes a toll on you more than you think it does. And, it's just it seems like you're never able to really, really rest when you're on the road. You're sort of you're always kind of grinding. I get that feeling in your gut where you're always got a meeting, you got something going on where you're always, whereas when you're home, the things, you're still on your same schedule and you're still this creature of habit, but nevertheless, you're much more comfortable with your own confines and what you're used to, and it makes a huge difference.
Well, Saints Steelers coming up today at 3:25, and that means our Oakland Heart Rolex time is 4 hours and about 8 minutes before kickoff in the Superdome. Here's a couple of texts from the 870-870. Hudat from the Gulf of Mexico working in the oil field from Hattiesburg, Mississippi. Saints 34, Steelers 27. Hello out there, the 601. Text from the 985, Seth and Steve. Hudat, it's a party in parking lot 375. Okay, what's up everybody out there in parking lot 375? This is your show. It's the most interactive Saints pregame show out there. Phone lines are open for you all 2 hours, 504-260-1870. And you can text us at 870-870. We'll take our first break. When we come back, the Saints are a team that it's been proven they can get by when their offense struggles. The Steelers, not so much. We'll go over some stats and we'll hear from Drew Brees. Coming back next, it's Steve Court and Seth Dunlap here on the Acadian Windows. Fans First Take on WWL.
Well, you just want to get in the playoffs. It doesn't matter how you get in. You just want to get in. Obviously, the first and second seed, you liked it, but I don't think we can get that now. So let's just find a way to get in.
That was Ben Roethlisberger talking about the need for Pittsburgh to win today to clinch a playoff spot. Not clinch a playoff spot, but just stay ahead of Baltimore in that AFC North. Big game for them. Welcome back to the Acadian Windows Fans First Take on WWL. Acadian Windows, official window company of the Hudat Nation. We'll get to your calls here in just a second. But one of the interesting stats here and the disparities for these two teams, Steve, is the way the Saints can win when Drew's not on. And really, the Steelers, they're not winning at a high clip when Ben goes off. In fact, the Saints are 4-0 when Breeze doesn't throw a touchdown, 4-0. Who would have thought that?
Yeah.
On the opposite side, Pittsburgh, the two times Ben Roethlisberger has thrown for over 450 yards this year, they've lost.
Yeah.
So they need balance to win, and the Saints can win on the back of their defense.
Well, look, that's one of those things that you look at and say, oh, man, you know, he threw for 478 yards or something. He must have had a great game, you know. No, that's because they're usually playing from behind or they've made mistakes. So, look, what that tells me without even looking and knowing is the fact that when, you know, when the quarterback is sort of out of the loop, okay, they either hurt you or they help you. And Drew Brees doesn't hurt his team. Ben Roethlisberger hurts his team when he's bad.
Turnover prone.
That's bad.
Huge.
That's look, that that's bad. Of course that's bad. That's the worst thing you can do. But look, at the same time, you know, you look at that guy as being able to guy that to sort of lead you back and kind of get you back in the game. And look, you can do it two different ways. You can gunsling it and go about it that way, and sometimes that works and sometimes it doesn't. You get bit by it. And you know, Drew Brees goes about it more in a kind of a surgical approach where he's going to say, hey, you know what? Our defense is playing pretty good right now, and I'm not going to hurt our team by, you know, trying to force a ball or whatever. So, look, you see it happen all the time. And you know, I watched yesterday, and I was watching this team's play, and I'm thinking, man, this is classic, you know, watching, you know, Rivers throw that first, you know, sideline route right there,
too,
you know, and he ends up, you know, underthrowing that first route. And I'm thinking, man, the corner all turned right around and just grabbed the ball. I'm thinking that's too easy. So yeah, you start off the game like that, you know, behind the eight ball, and you shoot yourself in the foot.
Let's hear from Drew Brees talking about you know, how he doesn't really care if he doesn't throw a touchdown pass as long as his team wins.
I guess that's good, you know. From game to game, sometimes you're asked to do different things, right? I think in a game like the other day where, yeah, we're taking our shots, we're executing our offense, but man, you know, we got a bunch of plays called back because of penalties. You know, we didn't really allow ourselves many scoring opportunities, you know. But whether we're running the ball in the end zone or passing the ball in the end zone, scoring 12 points or scoring, you know, 52 points, as long as it results in a win.
And the Saints finally, I really think for the first time truly in the Sean Payton era, maybe 2013, they had one of the top five defenses in the league, you could say. But I think this is the first time you could say that the defense, Steve, legitimately, this isn't hyperbole, could carry them to a Super Bowl. This could be a little like, and I hope it's not, you know, I hope the offense doesn't fall off like Denver did, remember, in Payton's final year. I hope it doesn't fall off like that. But I think they got a defense that could carry them to a title if it does.
Well, look, I'm just going to go back to what Drew was saying in that comment. And if you listen to him, and you know, Bobby can speak to this, you know, obviously better than I can, but I've been around quarterbacks for a long time. And look, I can just tell you that, you know, you listen to him and, okay, they all want to be the man. They love the fact that they can, you know, go out there and be the leader and you know, lead the team to victory and all that kind of stuff like that. But you heard what he said? Sometimes teams and games they evolve and they turn into certain situations where they take things away from you. And so what you have to do is you have to kind of adapt to that situation and figure it out without, you know, either your ego getting in the way or you know, your mind getting in the way saying, you know, I've got to do this and I'm going to force this and do that and I'm going to will it this way. And you sort of have to turn it around and you have to say, look, you know, I'm going to take what this defense has given me and I'm going to make sure that our team adjusts in such a fashion that we can win this. It doesn't have to be pretty. All we got to do is come out, whether it's, like he said, 12 points or 9 points or 48 points. It doesn't matter. Some way, somehow, some way, we got to get it done. And whether it rests on my arm and me being able to throw the football down the field, or, hey, if it's better for me to turn and hand the ball off to these battering Rams I got in the backfield and let the five guys up front take care of it, whatever. Or, you know, hey, let's control the football and let the defense win the game for us. I mean, there's several different things and you know, so many ebbs and flows of the game that you have to sort of adjust to. And the really good quarterbacks do that the best.
And, we know Drew is one of the best all time at doing just that. Let's go to the phone lines here on Fans First Take. He's Steve Court. I'm Seth Dunlap. Again, St. Steelers coming up at 3:25. We'll start it off with Miss Carol in Houston. Miss Carol, what's going on this morning?
Brother Dunlap, how you doing, Mr. Steve?
I'm good. What's up?
Well, all I can tell you is we're going to have some Ben Roethlisberger roast beef with a little juju potatoes and gravy and a little Antonio Brown chocolate cake for dessert. And then Drew Brees is going to be 26,000 miles an hour, and it's going to be on like a pot of neck bones in the pot. We are going to be 13-2 today, and I'm extremely excited, and we going to show up and show out.
Hey, Miss Carol, that was one of the best calls I've ever heard from you. She calls a lot. Thanks for listening. That was good.
I like that, Juju potatoes.
I like the Juju potatoes.
I always think of Juju beans. Why do I think of Juju beans?
I don't know. I think of like julienne something. I don't know.
Julienne
fries.
Where she was
going. Yeah, julienne fries. There we go. That's what I'm thinking of.
It should be the Chop-O-Matic.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, julienne fries.
I like cooking homemade fries, by the way. Well, all right, wait. Here's a court question that I don't know. You a thin cut fry or like the home style, like big thick steak fries?
Well, I like potatoes any way you cook them.
So you're just giving me potatoes.
Yeah, I just don't put any kind of cheese on anything. I can't even.
No, I don't like this whole trend with fries getting topped with everything. No, just give me a seasoned fry.
Just give me French fries with salt on it.
Okay? Yeah.
I don't need the ketchup and all that stuff either. I just like French fries.
I don't need ketchup on anything. Maybe a burger once in a while. Yeah. That's it, though. Yeah. Yeah. Dave Potter agreed with me. Ryan the glass. All right. We will take a break. Thanks, Ms. Carol, for the call. We'll get back to your calls. Plus, Mike Dettillier coming up with his draft day reflections in just a couple of minutes. He'll tell us about TJ Watt and Marquise Pouncey. Stick around. It's the Acadian Windows Fans First Take. Steve Court, Seth Dunlap right here on WWL. And welcome back to the show. We'll get to your phone calls in just a little bit. But right now, as promised, Mike Dettillier is joining us to give us his draft day reflections brought to you by the Sports Medicine Center at the Thibodaux Regional Medical Center, keeping you safely in the game. And Mike, what's going on, man? How are you?
I'm doing just fine. Thank you, Seth.
Mikey.
What's going on, Steve?
Yeah, we're ready to go, buddy.
I'm ready, brother.
Hey, you guys will be having fun up there in the press box.
We always do.
Yeah, for sure.
Always do.
All right, Mike, let's just start it off here. I got to ask you about TJ Watt, second-year linebacker. Not saying he's his brother yet, but he's got that upward trending curve here where he's looking like he could be an absolute star in this league for quite a while. What do you think about TJ?
Yeah, no question about it. You know, he was a guy that was sort of a one-year wonder at Wisconsin. He got recruited as a tight end, got redshirted, hurt his knee. Switch positions, and all of a sudden in 2016 he becomes not only a good college player, a dominant guy at a position that's the hardest to find in college or pro football, an edge rusher, either at defensive end or outside linebacker. The perfect fit for what the Steelers do defensively to get pressure. Now, guys, what surprised me about him was we had never really seen him at Wisconsin in the reverse position. He was always driving the football car in forward. It's how good of a cover linebacker he's become for the Steelers. So not only has he become really a threat to get pressure on the quarterback, but it's his ability to drop back in coverage. He does a really good job of it. And he's one of the young stars in this league, no question about it.
Has he over – you think he's better than you thought he would be coming into this league? I guess you kind of answered that, Mike. You kind of think he is. You think he's better than you even thought he would be coming out of Wisconsin.
I knew he would be a pretty good pass rusher. I didn't think he'd be this good of a pass rusher this quickly. Because sometimes that's a little bit of a learning curve. Man, for him, it was a short turn. He was fantastic coming out last year, making an impact. But where he's really made great strides is, you know, he's such a smart guy. You rarely catch him out of position is his ability to drop back in the coverage part of the game. You don't see a lot of pass rush, 3-4 outside linebackers do that today. And he does it really well. He's better than I thought he would be coming out of Wisconsin.
Mike, guy I'm interested in, my guy, guys, I look at those centers, you know. Marquise Pouncey. What tell me about him? I know he was a Florida guy. What was his deal coming out? You remember him? It was him and his brother, right?
Yeah, he's the older brother. And then, you know, hey, Steve, think about this. You know, we knew about the Brock brothers.
Yeah.
You know, the three guys all came out, you know, all high round picks, first round selections, and what they did in the NFL. And then you got Pro Bowl center brothers.
I mean, yeah, that's how many pretty remarkable.
I mean, listen, that genetic pool is pretty good. That's all I can tell you. He's a big man in the middle. He was a dominating player at Florida. He was my number one rated center. He's a big wide body center that was a really good run blocker. But for his size was how quick he was to adjust to the inside blitzes and picking up people coming at him left and right. Listen, you played that position. That is not easy to come in this league and play as well as both of them have. But Marquise, you just look at, he's got that middle settled. That's something to watch today. If it's Rankins going up against him,
yeah.
You're talking about two bulls out in the field. They got him with those two guys. And the other thing is look who he's protecting. There is no starting quarterback in the NFL that holds the football as long as Ben Roethlisberger.
No.
So as an offensive lineman, Steve, you've been in that spot. You're not real sure. Hey, mm-hmm. Has he gotten rid of it?
No.
Can I get
Mike,
rid of my
remember,
block?
I played with Bobby. He hung on to it forever.
And the other thing, too, is kind of raised in this part of the world where, you know, horses. You got bolters, you know, as young ponies. They bolt away from you. They'll run away from you real fast. And there are some like Ben that are short burst bolters. They take off, and then all of a sudden you're not sure where they're at. But yet they're still pretty much in the same spot.
Right.
That's what makes it so difficult to protect him. Now, he's great if you're a receiver because he'll hold on to the football forever as you're trying to get separation. But as an offensive lineman, he's a nightmare because you know he's going to hold it. And you're not sure where he's at on the field. Watch him play.
Yeah, it's the only time like I could ever tell, Mike, top. The only time I could ever tell was, the defensive guy charging me. It was changing positions all the time, and I can watch his eyes, and he's following the quarterback, you know. And I'm thinking the same thing when I watch Roethlisberger play. You know, he does give those guys a little bit of some fits, so they have to stay square. But that line does a pretty good job of staying square. Him and DeCastro there make a pretty good tandem in that middle.
No doubt.
And Villanueva at the left tackle position. You're talking about three all-pro guys, along that offensive line. But, you know, when you get a certain age, and he's never been built to be a runner, but he's one of these guys that he's a bit of a bolter and that he'll take off. And, again, that puts so much pressure on you as a lineman. It does put pressure on the defense, but it also puts pressure on the lineman. I'm not sure where he's at and how long can I sustain this block.
Yeah.
Mike Dettillier's Draft Day Reflections brought to you by the Sports Medicine Center at the Thibodaux Regional Medical Center. Mike, always appreciate the analysis, man, and we'll hear you on Countdown to Kickoff coming up in just a couple hours, buddy.
Yeah, see you soon, Mikey.
All righty, guys. Talk to you later.
Right, Mike D, there he goes. We will take a break. When we come back, it's your show now for the next hour and 20 minutes, 504-260-1870. Open lines the entire show now. And the text line is 870-870. Saints Steelers at 325 this afternoon in the Superdome. Back after this on the Acadian Windows Fans First Take on WWL.
Eighth ranked red zone offense this season in the NFL. Second down and three. Newton takes a gun snap, lofts one to the far corner. And an interception by the Saints. Great position.
Eli Apple, I think, as well.
Eli Apple right at the front pylon. And that's exactly what you can't do if you're the Panthers. They finally take a chance. I believe Devin Funchess is the intended receiver.
And look, that was a great play by Apple. That was an equally terrible throw there by Cam Newton.
He sure does play bump and run, that man coverage, really, really well. He struggles a little bit with the zone stuff, but boy, he plays that bump and run really, really well.
And DA shifted to that, a much more man concept since Eli's come, because you got Marshawn, who's great in man, early or zone, on the opposite side of him.
We're finding out what they're good at.
Yeah, yeah. Look, as far as the in-season, I got this question. What's been the biggest in-season trade? Somebody was trying to convince me that it was Eli Apple. No, I mean, I know Khalil Mack, technically, wasn't in-season. It was before week one. I mean, you're not going to equal that. But you talk about a low-risk, high-reward trade here that's working out, it seems like, is Eli.
We just needed that, needed a body there, and then somebody that we hope would turn out. And so far, the first couple weeks were a little rocky, but then after that, it was like, oh, okay.
You know who's benefited from this too?
Going on.
Is PJ Williams, who's been really good in the slot. You know, he's not good on the outside, or at least he's not as good on the outside as he is in the slot, but he's been pretty good the last few
weeks.
I think
it gives him, you know, it's one less thing to have to think about, one less technique to have to play, you know, and not that they're a whole lot different, but it certainly is different because you don't have the boundary.
Yep.
You know, so that part of it is certainly different.
All right, to the phone lines we go. How about New York Sam? Welcome into Fans First Take, Sam.
Thanks for the time, guys. You guys were kind of on the topic I wanted to bring up, which was Eli Apple. And I know everyone kind of wants to kind of look at this as a good deal, but I heard last week he's got 5 red zone takeaways in, 8-9 weeks? That's incredible. And I wanted you guys to kind of talk about his impact in the red zone. Because when you look at players in the league, I don't know that you have many other players in any position on defense that can give you 5 takeaways, much less 5 in the red zone. So that's where I wanted to spend some time, guys. I know you talked a little bit about Eli, but can you talk about how he's helped us with the takeaways and how you feel his value has been there?
Well, there's no question. All you got to do is look at last week. You know, it's helped us dramatically. But, look, he's you can see that each and every week – how much better he's gotten, you know, as far as what he's able to, you know, where he's just gotten a swing of it, you know, and he's kind of, I guess he's probably understanding, you know, not that, you know, anybody plays those completely different, you know, as far as technique wise. I mean, the technique is the technique, you know, whether you're, you know, whether you got your man coverage or whether you got in a zone coverage, but nonetheless, it was, you know, when you watch him get a little bit more comfortable and more anticipatory. And then he was able to sort of take some gambles from time to time, and those gambles have paid off. I've seen him defense a lot of passes. I didn't know he had 5 turnovers in the red zone. You know, I know he had a couple, but I didn't know he had 5. But
I'd have to check that. I didn't know that either. We're trusting you on that stat, Stan. I can't fact check you on that one right here live.
But that's incredible if that's the case.
Yeah. Somebody on the text line was asking about the Saints injury report. Teron Armstead looks like he will play. Yeah. The only player listed out for the Saints is Jermon Bushrod, who's dealing with that hamstring issue. Max Unger, he's been cleared following that concussion protocol, which is good for the Steelers. James Conner, he's going to be out. And Juju Smith-Schuster, he's questionable. And even if he plays here, he's not going to be the explosive guy. You ever dealt with a groin issue, Steve? Even I have when I was playing basketball in a different sport. But, man, that was tough.
Again, it depends on how severe it is. But, look, I can tell you one. I had an issue one time with a pulled hamstring because it was either a Thursday or Friday. That we did some one-on-one pass pro real quick, and that was our really only live session of the day. It was a Thursday, and the grass was wet and nettery, and I slipped, you know, pass blocking somebody, and I didn't know what it was at first. I've never had a pulled hamstring.
Felt a little pinch?
No, it felt like I got, like, stabbed in the back of my leg. I didn't know what it was. And then, you could sort of run your fingers down through along those, you know, longitudinal lines of that belly, and you could feel this big dent. And I was like, what is that?
That's bringing back bad memories. I dealt with one of those, too. It's just, and it lingers.
And I remember thinking, man, this is crazy. Because then it was like, you know, swelling up and all this crazy stuff. I'm thinking, what in the world? I've never had a pulled hamstring. And I'm not a sprinter. What in the world am I doing getting a pulled hamstring?
I'm going 5 yards at a time here.
Right.
All right, we'll take a break. Back with more of your calls, 504-260-1870. Text line 870-870. We'll also preview some of the early window games. Couple of big ones here. We'll go over that coming back next year on the Acadian Windows Fans First Take here on WWL. Getting ready for the start of the early window games coming up at noon Central Time. Couple of highlight ones here, Steve. You've got the Colts at home against the Giants, trying to stay in playoff position there. They're one game out, or really, they lose a tiebreaker. They would need the Steelers to lose, then they would move into that wild card spot. Then you got the Texans at the Eagles here, and you and I were talking off air. Now, we all want the Saints to win a Super Bowl here, but if there's one storyline that would just be incredible, would be if Nick Foles somehow takes Philadelphia back to the Super Bowl again.
Like a Disney movie in the making.
They'd have to re-sign him. I mean, it'd be crazy. Well, yeah, I mean, he's a free agent this year.
Look, I'll just say this. That team seems to he's got something going on that they really like about him. Some sort of leadership quality that they must really like about him, because that team seems to gravitate towards him and play hard for him and sort of gives them the extra incentive and I don't know what it is about him, but he has that thing. He has that sort of it factor.
It's not a calming influence, right? That's what I see.
Calming, you know what I mean? But yet at the same time motivating, you know, and they seem to rally around him. And like I said before, that stuff is not coachable. It's just sort of your personality. And I think, I was listening to them comment about him, and they were just, everybody was just, all the offensive line were just glowing about him. So that's a good thing.
Eagles a 2.5-point favorite against the 10-4 Texans at home here. And that kicks off in just a couple of minutes. We'll have score updates for you next hour. Our Blue Runner Foods opinion poll at WWL.com. What's your prediction for the Saints versus Steelers game? Give us a score prediction. Cast your vote at WWL.com or the radio.com app. One more hour of the Fans' First Take coming up after this.